Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers and my adorable co-host here, Caroline Allen.
Thank you, Carolyn. Nice to talk to you, too.
Yeah, you know, even if we just talk when we get on the radio like this, it's still
nice. Hello. It's nice to meet this way.
Indeed. Before we get into receiving telephone calls from the audience, there was a little bit that I wanted to discuss today about the body ascending and kind of a multitude of subjects, sacred oils, things of this nature. So give me about 15 minutes before we call in. But in case there are some new caller, new listeners out there in BBS land, I would like to first of all give a little background about what Carolyn and I do. So, Caroline, would you just take a moment and kind of give a little thumbnail sketch of how you heal, what you do?
Sure, I'll be happy to. I am a Reiki master. I am a healer. I am a medical intuitive. I work with God to heal. I can see inside people's bodies, and God does the healing work. And I'm here as a witness so that I can tell you what's been done inside of your body.
Well,
is that enough?
That was that. Hey, I love it. It was a little thumbnail sketch. Told us everything that you do. And of course, there's more to the subject than that. We know that. But at least for those who have not heard about us today, I had the sense that this was necessary. Now, as for myself, Carolyn Evers, there's, I've, as Caroline has been, we've, the two of us have been on the path of working with different healing modalities, working with the spiritual hierarchy. And I, one of the things that I do is I connect with the masters on the other side. We do conference calls, which to me is positively remarkable how the masters come and speak to people on a telephone line. I mean, you know, I think about the times in the past when they were chiseling these words in stone, and here we pick up a telephone and masters speak to us. It, to me, I never get over that excitement. And I've been their secretary. They've given me some books to record for them. And I also go and read to the center of the cosmos to read the Akashic records for people. They are in care of the cherubim, and we get some tremendous information there about the person's mission, their soul. And both Caroline and I over the past have connected callers with maybe their angels, their guardian angels. Sometimes people call and want to know about friends or relatives of theirs who have crossed over to the other side and what they are doing. What we usually do then is connect with the masters or archangels who will give us this information. And I do want to say something about you, Caroline, that you really didn't mention in this. In your little thumbnail sketch, I guess your thumbnail was a little bit too big to add to, or a little too small. But one of the things that I really revere with Caroline's work is the work that she does in the inner planes with those souls who are in the process of dying or who have died, how she helps them to the light. She has worked with Archangel Mikael doing this. And I think that's kind of spectacular. For new listeners, we have in the archives, I think we did two. Well, of course, I love all of our shows that we do, Caroline, but the two that stand out in my mind is when you witnessed the students who were who had just been shot at Virginia Tech University, and then the work that you had done when the Twin Towers were destroyed. So they are two archives that you might want to listen to because it gives you a sense of what it's like on the other side, and I think these were remarkable shows. So what we will do in about 10 minutes is you can give us a call and speak to Caroline for a healing or myself to work with the Akashic Records. But something that I wanted to bring forth to the audience and you know, Caroline also, this is a time of a great adventure, as you know. We're preparing for ascension, those who have made the choice that this is what they want to do. And for some of us, we have watched the cells inside of the body turning to crystalline. And all through this year, incredible things have happened. Archangel Michael tells us that this energy that is coming in is finally reaching Earth from the supernova 1987A. And so each month there has been different energies that have come to the body making changes. And so I have become very aware that for some of us, we are connecting with our higher selves. And the old, how shall we say, perhaps the way of doing things, the 3D things from the past, is fading away as we move towards towards this new understanding. And so in that, the body, as you know, Caroline, when the body isn't always certain of what has happened, it gets a little anxious. And in this particular,
very anxious sometimes.
Yeah, and so I think it would be a good thing if we talked a little bit about the ascension changes and working with the body, telling the body that it is safe, also listening to the body and observing symptoms, changes, and working with that. And I wanted to, the reason I brought this up, Caroline, is because these are topics we talk about anyway, but I became very aware the other day of the advantage of using some sacred oils and flower essences that are very purely distilled. And I had the urge, I'd had some body aches like all of us have had recently, and I was prompted to use some of my sacred oils, my flower essences, put them in areas of pain, and I felt such a relief. My body, it was like a sigh of relief that my body was giving to me. I became very aware of that and noticed it. And also I want to bring in massage. I've also found this to be of great benefit, and I just wanted to mention a little thing that I have been doing that I have found extremely helpful. We don't always think of our skin. We think of our skin as something that's covering us, but you know, many people discuss this as the largest organ that we have, and so the things that we put on our skin move into the body relatively quick. And if you take some very pure olive oil, and, you know, just look into who produces it, put a drop or two of some flower essence or a high-quality sacred oil. I have a little I don't know how to explain it. It has a little candle on the bottom with a little dish on the top, and you can put your oil and your flower essence in the little dish. You light your candle, and it warms it. And taking that warm, because the olive oil is of a high frequency. I've been using some rose essence, and of course rose is a high frequency also, warming this up a little bit and massaging it on my legs every evening. And so if you have a job where you're standing a lot or sitting at a computer a lot, you're going to have some body parts perhaps that are complaining. And I wanted to pass this along, Caroline, because, as I said, I have found this to be of such great value that I've been using the oil and the rose essence with massage every evening.
Oh, that's awesome. Good. And you find that's really helping your legs?
Yes, I really have. And I wanted to pass that along because, as you're aware, right now we have a lot of things coming up in the physical because of all the changes that's going on. And these are some of the things that we can do to soothe the body.
That sounds wonderful. I'll have to try that. I've not ever used olive oil. So
olive oil.
Are you talking about using, for instance, organic olive oil? What? What kind?
See, yes, first pressing, organic. I order some olive oil from California that comes from Community Tree. Everything they sell is all organic. And then, interestingly, I have just recently become aware of the olive oil from Spain. And this really surprised me, Caroline. The Spanish people are so, they have a difference in oil from what we see here. I really have noticed the difference. It's very light. Their olives are different. And they have shops where, you know how we go into a wine shop and we have wine bottles from different pressings and different grapes that we purchase? Well, they have shops where they sell olive oil like this.
Oh,
I was amazed when I saw this cooking show on it. So you go into this little shop, and the woman talks about where the olives came from, the properties of the olive oil, and she has little dishes there where they can taste this. And so it's I bought some from a company here called Sweet Energy. They have a website, and they import this olive oil from Spain. And I thought, well, I gotta try this. And so I really did see the difference. It's very light. When you put it on your skin, to me, it is just amazing how after a very little bit of time, it has gone into the skin. It doesn't lie on the top of the skin. It you just rub it in. I mean, it's like a cosmetic.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I was very impressed with it.
Well, I've been using Spanish organic olive oil, which I order through my health food store for several years now, because I really like the quality of it, but it never occurred to me to put it on my skin. Thank you, Carolyn.
So you've been, like, using it for cooking, I gather.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. To make salad dressings with.
Yeah. Have you noticed how light it is?
Yes, I have. I like it a lot better. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, I have run out before I realized I've run out, and I've been forced to buy something else. So, and I'm always grumbly about that. Why didn't I notice earlier? But now that I can see, I'll probably be able to see it well enough to know that I'm running out and ordering time.
Well, just a little bit of some sacred flower essence, a drop or two of something really special in it, warm it up, and just rub it into your skin, I tell you. You know, it would be wonderful I've got this all figured out, Caroline. This is the night of pampering. To have a big bubble bath. Soak in the bubble bath with some wonderful music, some candles, and then get out and rub your limbs with the olive oil and some kind of flower essence. Does that sound like something special or not?
It does. It sounds really great.
Well, my friends out there, give us a call. For people who are in the States, our local number here is 877-876-5227. And if you are listening to us from Canada, we have a toll-free number for Canadians also, and that is 888-815-9750. And Caroline and I are on the air today. We have a two-hour show. Don't wait until the last minute, because these 2 hours fly by, don't they, Caroline?
They do. And there is something that you were talking about, the ascension process, that I would like to share with our listeners, and that is that I had a very awesome experience about 10 days ago, and it was when I was in meditation. And God told me that there are many ways of ascension, that there isn't just one ascension method.
Well, do you want to take this call, or do you want to finish your thought and then answer the question?
We can come back to that.
Okay. And who is calling, please?
Carolyn, this is Jenna.
Hi, Jenna.
I couldn't get in during your last show.
Well, I guess there were other people calling in, huh?
I think so.
Jenna, what can we do for you, dear?
Well, when I had come on your Sunday show 3 weeks ago, you said call back on Saturday, and then I couldn't get in, so because you thought it would be a good idea if I talked to Carolyn.
Jenna, you know, we are here and just delighted to work with you. But I will tell you, after a couple weeks and we go through so many topics and see your name, I certainly do remember, Jenna, and I remember discussing this with you. But right at the moment, I can't recall the question. So how about reviewing this a little so Caroline knows which way to, which area to look at?
Well, it's in talking to Archangel Mikael, he said that, or you know, you were talking about the fact that I really needed some physical straightening up too.
A little bit of house cleaning, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
The body has a lot of systems in it, Jenna, and can we start with perhaps one particular area that you would like Caroline to work with?
Probably my digestion.
Okay. Caroline?
Okay, and what sort of problems are you having with your digestion? I mean, is it actually, do you feel like it's actually in your stomach or is it in your intestines?
Actually, it has to do with the fact that my teeth have gotten all messed up and I'm not able to eat the foods that I used to. That I would rather eat.
Oh, well, let's go in and work on your teeth to see what's going on there first.
I mean, what I really could use is a new set of teeth.
Okay.
Now, Jenna, does this, can I ask a question, Caroline, before?
Sure.
Is this because you're having trouble chewing the food?
Right.
Or is it pain there?
No, it's trouble chewing the food because my teeth have gotten all messed up and they're falling out and life is not good on my teeth.
So perhaps the teeth have moved. Is that what you're saying? They're loose?
They're loose, and some have come out, yes.
Okay, dear. Now, Caroline, I think you got a little better idea of what's going on.
Now, the energy that's going into your mouth has somehow gotten reversed. Okay, so God's going to go in there and change the energy. And what that means is that the blood will flow in the correct direction into your teeth, and your nerves will be getting the messages in the right direction and pushing through. The energy is supposed to move from the back of your mouth to the front of your mouth, and sometimes that's not happening anymore. And when that does happen, you do start having problems with your teeth. So that's what we're going to do right now, is get
okay.
that straightened out. Okay? Now, I have to be quiet a minute while I'm doing this.
Well, you know Jenna and I will talk.
I know. That's fine.
Jenna, what she does, if you've listened to us before, you probably know she's going into a higher level, into the theta state, and goes into the works with God in the quantum field. But she never ceases to amaze me with the things that she says, like about this energy thing. After she finishes, I'm going to have to ask her about a little bit about that. I never thought of energy going into our mouth from one direction or another, and that it would make a difference. We're going to have to find out about that.
Well, basically what seems to happen, and I have not really ever asked why it happens, I just go in and say, oh, that shouldn't work. The energy when you're born as your teeth come in, the energy comes from the back of your mouth and goes to the front, the back and goes to the front. Somewhere along the line, sometimes people's energy shifts and it'll go from one side to the other side, and from the bottom side to the other side as well, if you're talking about the upper teeth. And it can go right to left or left to right. Well, it should be coming in both from both directions. So that's what God's just done. He shifted the energy moving into your gums and into the whole system under your teeth, where the tissues are in there that hold your teeth in place. So he shifted it so that the energy comes from the front towards the back. I'm sorry, from the back towards the front, and then the same thing, upper and bottom level, and then now he's working on making sure that the blood flow is correct into the teeth and into the tissues, and that the nerve endings are getting the messages from the back part of your teeth towards the front part. So
okay.
He's done. Now, once that's been shifted, you're going to start feeling that your gums are going to start looking more healthy. They'll be pinker. They will also be tightened up and more like they aren't really attached to your jaw, but it's more like they're firmer up against your jawbone, so they won't be falling out, and that will facilitate your being able to chew better. And you're going to see a difference. Within 3 days, you're going to be able to tell that you're starting to feel a difference as you eat, but still take it fairly easy. Don't try to chew something really tough to start with. Give yourself a month for the tissue to recover and for everything to be working correctly, and then start chewing things that are a little bit harder.
Okay,
and that will very much help your digestion, as well as your the energy that's flowing down through your intestinal system as well.
Okay.
Before you go, Jenna, there's something I wanted to ask Caroline about this. Is there something that Jenna should be doing that might facilitate to help the healing? I'm thinking of in terms of maybe some mouthwash or or anything else that she might do to help this, besides choosing, you know, not to eat hard foods or tough foods in the very beginning? Do you have
I use mouthwash on a regular basis, melaleuca oil.
Well,
melaleuca oil, I'm not familiar
that's
with that.
That's tea tree oil.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's tea tree oil. And it comes as a mouthwash?
It does. There's other stuff with it, but it's based on tea tree oil.
Okay. Interesting. Well, let me see here if that's the right one for you to be using. I'm not getting that that's actually helping what's going on in your mouth. Sounds good.
Any thoughts, Caroline? I was going to question whether there was an alkaline situation here that you need to have her mouth in a more alkaline condition.
Well, that was what the information that God was just telling me is that you really need to use a little bit of lemon juice in the water that you drink so you alkaline, make your body more alkaline. It's pretty acidic, and it will help a lot. When we're born, our bodies are alkaline, but as we age and we eat things that have a lot of acid in them, we tend to turn our bodies to an acidic condition,
mm-hmm.
and that's a condition in which disease can grow more easily. So if you will use some lemon, you know, like a small slice of lemon in the water, you don't want to get too much lemon or you can go in the opposite direction of being too alkaline. But if you do that every day, it will also help the tissue in your body recover from anything that might attack it, any sort of bacteria or virus or whatever.
Okay.
Okay. And I just muscle tested for you for the melaleuca oil. Do you do that? Do you muscle test things before you take them?
I can't say that I do, no. I mean, I know about muscle testing, but I haven't.
Caroline, how about going over muscle testing for those who are listening and might not be aware?
Okay. I'm going to have to sort of sort out here a minute how to explain what happens. Your body knows what it needs and what will work with it. And the way that you personally can find this out is the muscle test. Now, there's several different ways to do this. And if you don't mind, I'll go ahead and explain how to do it so that anybody that's listening that doesn't muscle test can do it. The first place, you have to be in a condition where you've got enough fluid in your body to muscle test, okay? In other words, if you have not been drinking, if you've been drinking coffee all day, you can't muscle test very well. You need to be drinking water so that you make sure that your body is in the kind of fluid condition that you can muscle test. Once you've done that, what I do, except when I'm doing it on the telephone, is you stand up and you face north. And you ask the question when you're standing north, you have your hands down by your side, okay? And you tell your body to show you a strong no. If your body starts to fall backwards, that's no for you. If your body starts to go forward, that's no for you. Then once you've done that, you say, now show me a weak yes, and the body will go backwards or forwards, the opposite of the no, but it won't go as strongly in that direction. Okay, then the next thing you do to make sure you've got this going right is you say, I am a boy. If you're a girl, say that. I'm a boy. Well, if you bend over backwards as your body goes back, and that's been the no answer and you get a no, then you know your muscle testing is valid, that you have been irrigated enough, basically. And if it's not working, you need to drink some water and rub the area over your kidneys, which are in above your waist, in your back, about 2 or 3 or 4 inches in from your side. And you just rub your kidneys to make sure you get the fluids moving through your body, and then try that again. And when I'm sitting down and I'm talking on the telephone to somebody, I make sure if I start doing muscle testing that I'm facing north. Now, if you don't know north from south, carry a little compass until you know which area you need to face, like in the health food store. And when you're in there and you're trying to decide about what calcium supplement you're going to buy, put it in your left hand, because your left hand is your receiving hand. Hold, and I start at the right on the shelf. And I pick up a bottle and I hold it in my hand, and I say, once I've made sure that I know that going back is no and going forward is yes, I go, will this calcium be efficacious for my body? And if my body goes back and says no, I put it down, and I go down the line, and I see other people doing this in the health food store all the time. And you can also do it using your fingers, but I just find it's easier just to stand there and face north and test them all out. And sometimes there's not one on the shelf that's going to work for your body. You'll have to go somewhere else and try another different assortment of them. And I do that with any kind of anything that's a supplement, like a vitamin or a mineral, but I also do it with things that somebody says, oh, you ought to use lavender oil for an antibiotic. Then I'm going to go pick up that bottle of lavender oil and see if that's what my body needs for an antibiotic. I'm going to say, is this an efficacious antibiotic for my body? And some people will find that one thing is not going to work for them, but something else will. You go, your body really knows what it needs. So you use that knowledge so that you don't buy things. How many of us, and I did this before I started doing the muscle testing, I mean, you just go and you buy something, you take it, you know, you kind of go, okay, that pill just came out completely whole. Obviously, I didn't digest it. So, you know, you put something aside and you spend all this money on it. You want to find out something that your body actually can digest and get into your system and use. And there are books on it that teach you and show you, I think, in the book, how to do muscle testing. And what's the other word for muscle testing? Why am I losing it? There's another word for it, Carolyn. What's the word?
I don't know. I always use the word muscle testing.
Well, it's kinesiology.
Oh. I'm still caught up on the owner of the health food store watching all these people walking up and down the aisles going back and forth.
And you know what? I have never had anybody in the health food store ever comment on what I'm doing. In fact, I only had one person say something to me, and she said to me, oh, good for you. You're muscle testing.
I think it's great. It just struck my funny bone, just because I'm very visual. I'm imagining the store owner standing there and watching her customers do this.
Well, and some of the other ways that you muscle test, like using your fingers, making a circle with your first finger and your thumb and then putting them together and doing it that way. Well, that doesn't work if you're trying to hold a bottle.
That's true.
You know, if you do this variety where you're standing up and you're facing north, you can hold the bottle in your hand. And that way your body just goes backwards or it goes forward and you get a yes or no. So you save so much money. I have got, you know, I think probably 4 or 5 years ago went through my closet in my bathroom and I must have had 40 or 50 bottles of things that didn't test positive for me. And I called our free clinic here and asked them if they would like to have any of those things. I would package them up in little clear plastic bags and bring them down there, and they could hand out vitamins and stuff like that to people that needed them. And they said that sounded wonderful, so I did that with them. But I was just horrified how much money I spent when I thought every one of these daggum bottles probably cost me $10, and I've got 50, 60 of them to take down to the pre-clinic.
But Caroline, you know, something that occurred to me when you were talking about this is cosmetics.
That's what I was going to say, stuff that you're applying to your skin,
right,
or the cleaning products that you're using in the house. But, I mean, you get them on you because you're using them.
Exactly. Yeah, I do it with cleaning products. I do it with the makeup that I wear, the lotion that I use. I go, you know, I'm standing in there in the drugstore going, okay, I'm out of lotion. Let's see what works, because what happens is you find one that works for you, and they decide to improve it, quote, unquote. And it's no longer what it was when you were first buying it. And you go, I don't know what's in here, but because I'm not about to read that 40 things they put inside of a lotion container. But, you know, on the outside, on the ingredient list, I just try it and go, this isn't going to work for me. Let's try something else. And then, I mean, I do the same thing with shampoos. And I just do all kinds of muscle testing because my body knows what will work for it and what won't.
Do you do it every time you buy the same product?
I do generally do that. Now, I have to admit that there are a couple of products that I've tested positive for so long that I don't really bother to test those anymore. I can't use but one soap in the washing machine. It has to be fragrance-free and clear. And there's a product from Whisk that I've been using for 10 years. And, you know, I'll get it home and I'll think, I should have tried it out. And so then I try it out again and it's positive again. So we continue to use that one around here. But same thing with all kinds of stuff. And
well,
I've even had, you know, and something else that I've had happen, there are a lot of, and I'm a retired interior designer, so I know things like this, but there are a lot of new fabrics on the market that are made from things that are not your standard cotton, wool, acrylic, rayon, spandex. There's some other name on there, and I go, what the heck is this? And so I always read that sort of thing on the clothing label, and then I'll hold the clothes in my left hand and muscle test to see if I'll be allergic to something in that clothing, because I don't know what it's made of.
You know, they're talking about women's lipstick, that there are lead in some of the brands, and that thought was in my mind when I brought up the idea of cosmetics, because I have to tell you, I haven't done that, and I think that's excellent advice.
Oh, it is. That's amazing. In fact, I can't find a lipstick anymore that I can wear.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to give up on lipsticks totally and I found a vitamin E stick that I can use, but I can't find a lipstick anymore. There used to be one that one of the companies made, maybe Lancome, made one that was a whole new formula, and I got so excited when I tested it. It's called Lip Spa. Oh, it was awesome. And they quit making it, and I haven't been able to find another one since then.
Before Jenna leaves us, Caroline, I had another question. Should she be looking at digestive enzymes or I'm trying to think of what that other digestive it ends with biotics. It's not parabiotics.
Oh,
I take them every day.
About probiotics.
Huh? Yeah. I couldn't think of it.
Probiotics. There again, Carolyn, I really recommend that she muscle test it to see if it's something that she needs.
Well, at least we're bringing up the thought that
right.
It might. If she doesn't use that, that to something, you know, to look into.
Right. And there's some really great yogurts on the market that they're being more cognizant about in terms of whether they're active cultures in there. And those really also help with your digestive problems. But you have
Very aware of the digestive aids and so forth, and I do absolutely no drugs, which drive the doctors nuts, because I don't take any kind of, I don't have an aspirin in the house, so.
Right, and I'm the same way, I don't take chemicals. But, you know, a lot of people do. A lot of people feel like they need to do that, and that's your choice to do that. But you can do the same thing with a sample of the medication. You can say to your doctor, do you have a sample of this medicine that you think I need to take? And then you can muscle test it to see if your body will accept it and if it'll be viable for you. It's an awesome tool.
Well, I'm really glad you brought that up, Caroline. And, Jenna, we're really glad that you called, dear.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, thank you for your time.
Okay.
Well, blessings
thanks.
To you.
Well,
thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. My little telephone is beeping in my ear, so I'm going to switch to another telephone. I don't think I'll lose you, but if I do, I'll find the phone number and call you back. Okay?
Well, if...
Okay, you're still there.
Good. I wanted to... While we're waiting for, we do have another caller. I was going to ask you a question until another caller called. And your name, please.
Hi, Carolyn and Caroline. This is Nancy Sue.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
How you guys doing?
We're doing great. How yes. about you?
I'm doing better.
Good. That's great.
What can we do
how
for
can
you,
we
Nancy?
You?
Well, I would like to see if Caroline can either do a healing or a boost on my immune system. I've been sick for over 3 weeks now, and I am starting to get better, but there's got to be another way.
Hey, you know, before Caroline, perhaps it might be a good idea if you could ask God what the cause of this is.
Yeah.
In other words, she's asking for an immune boost, but... Maybe we could get down to the bottom of this. What do you think of that, Nancy?
That sounds good. Naturally.
And what? Tell me what your symptoms are, Nancy.
Well, I've had a severe cough with being almost like a really severe cold, but with a really hard cough that I just couldn't get rid of. Even with constant drinking hot fluids with the honey and the lemon.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a fever with it, and I've been using my Zapper.
Okay. Well, it's not a bacteria. You've got a virus. Okay, I'm going to go down here and... look in your lungs to see what's going on there.
It really can be discouraging when you got something hanging on for so long.
Oh, it is. It's been so frustrating.
And viruses can be tricky. Well, she must be having a good look around.
Well, I am. There's, you still got some of the virus down in your lungs. It hadn't gone away.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now what we do to get rid of the virus is tone it, which means that I will be making a sound which will be the opposite sound of the virus, okay? This is really deep. Hard for me to make that sound. Okay. I'm going to drink water here and then see if I can get it going a little bit longer. Nancy Sue, cough for me.
Do what?
Cough.
Oh, cough.
Okay, I'm going to down this tone again. Cough again, I'm going to look at your left lung. Okay, now this virus was hanging on to the top part of your lung.
Okay.
And so your coughing wasn't effective because it was like it was hooked in to the top part. So it's now all fallen down to the bottom and is dying. And you'll be able to cough it out, up and out.
Oh, awesome.
Okay, it wasn't really your immune system. That's what I had gotten to start with, so that's why I ask you.
Oh, okay.
What's going on here? So, there you go.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
You guys have a beautiful day.
Call us back, let us know how you're doing, darling.
Will do. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Now, Caroline, we've talked about this before. Tell people how they could go about doing this for themselves.
About toning?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about?
Yep.
For a virus?
Yes.
God just told me that's what I was supposed to do the first time I worked on a virus. And so if you get into a meditative state where you can just say to God, and that can be for some people a prayer state or a meditative state, just ask God to give you the opposite tone of the virus. And then you just take a deep breath and open your mouth and sound comes out. You don't know what the sound's going to be like, but it just comes out.
I love it.
I know.
This might be a good time, Caroline, to give out your phone number for those who might want to call you for a private work, you know, work with you privately.
Okay. My phone number is 540-586-2401, and I am on the East Coast, and for another week, we're on daylight savings time. And I work from 9 until 5.
Thank you, Caroline. And for those who might want a reading from their Akashic Records, my website is carolynevers.com, and that's CarolynEvers.com. And you'll see the what looks like a little book at the bottom of the page that has Akashic Records on it. Very lovely lady there. And your name, caller?
This is Jean.
Hi, Jean.
Hi, Carolyn. Hi, Caroline.
How are
you? What can we do for you?
I just wondered, do I have something blocking income coming in for us? A blockage there?
Who are you directing this to, Caroline?
Yes.
Okay. Caroline, you're up again, honey.
I know. I was going in looking to see if she had a blockage.
You're one ahead, huh?
Yep. As soon as somebody starts talking, I'm always immediately moving in there and looking to see what's going on here. I don't see a blockage there. Carolyn, how about? Can you ask the cherubim? Is there something going on?
I didn't do a vow of poverty or something last time around.
You have taken vows of poverty, but those have already been removed.
Okay.
What, do you see a cherubim hanging around, Caroline?
I do.
We'll
Me
talk
too.
About that in a minute. Okay, let's see. Let me tune. Oh, golly, they're so gorgeous. I just get so bubbly when I see them. And she's waiting patiently. With
she
her
is.
Book in her. Huh?
She is. She was being very patient.
Yeah. Yeah, she's standing there very patiently. Like, well, at some point you're going to get around to me. And she has your book in her hand. And for those who might be listening to this for the first time, when they hold your record, the cherubim in the center of the cosmos hold the universal record, and that is the individual's record from the time that they were created, came into physical form, until the present time. And it looks like a book, but it kind of really is a spiral of energy that is placed in a certain spot, but it gives us an appearance of a book. And so the book is so large, we could go anywhere in there, and so I have to direct a question for them. She's got the book open. Apparently, she heard the question. It's like, come on, lady, get along with this. Okay. What she's telling me, she's not showing me an image. She's telling me that right now, as you know, meaning you, Jean, you
yes.
are on a journey. You've come a long way within a very short time on this journey. It is a journey of awakening, and you have been working very hard with this. You've been doing a lot of meditation, and you have progressed very quickly in your meditation. You have been clearing the body from the energies that have been stuck there from past lifetimes, and she wants to give you a little bit of encouragement along those lines that you are almost finished with that aspect. You are approaching a period where there's like a fork in the road, and one road leads towards what we might consider the three-dimensional kind of living that we have, that we are accustomed to doing. And the other path, it looks like it's almost going straight up. This is that part of the path where you're breaking away from three-dimensional living, and not only three-dimensional living, but from many of the challenges that have held you back. And she's not going into that because you know what those challenges have been. And there is now a new door opening for you. And that, she is showing me, that is the doorway that you're going to be going through. But there is still some connections to this life stream that you have been on where you feel that the world needs to produce things for you, where this other path is the world of where you are going to materialize them yourself. And this is the path that you are moving towards. She's showing me a place in your record where you are a master at this. That, oh, and she's opening up a scene in Atlantis that you were a master at working with energy, taking the thoughts, building the thought, and molding the energy to create what was in your mind to create. And that this is the next step along the way where you need to move. And so, in a sense, these things are happening to you for you to evaluate them, to look at them, and realize that you are not dependent on that, that what you are working towards is to materialize these things with your thoughts and the energy that comes from source through your meditative process, that you have advanced far enough to have and understand the tools through meditation as to how you go about doing this. But what you haven't focused on yet is that this is part of your mastery, that you know how to, it's a case of remembering, you really know this, it's a case of remembering this from the past, to focus the thought, to take source's energy, and she's showing me this little shortcut, it's so cute, where you take this sort of like in a machine that we might have in our three-dimensional world, and kind of like stamping it out, that you know how the machine is your mind, the energy is source's energy, you really know how to take this and materialize on this level what you need and what you want, and align yourself with source. Work with this, and you might have a little bit of a challenge here because there's a bit of fear here in your heart to release what is around you, what you have been, well, we all are very comfortable with, you know, the sources of bringing in money and paying the bills and so forth. But there is this vast unknown energy that is now upon you that you can work with and produce what you need. And she's closing your book. This was the message that that she had for you. But Carolyn Evers now is asking this question, Jean. I think you understand what she's referring to, don't you?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, my Carolyn, what she's telling you is, and, you know, what we're all doing right now is stepping up into our mastery. I think the beautiful thing about that information is that you really did this in Atlantis, and it is a case of just re-remembering what you already have in that data bank of yours.
Yes, I've had a lot of past lives come up and been working through those. So,
mm-hmm.
So I will continue to do that.
Well, that was a beautiful reading, my dear.
Yes, yes, I appreciate it very much.
Blessings to you, Jeannie.
Thanks, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Gee, I forgot where we were, Caroline. We were going to put this aside and take this caller, and I forgot what we were talking about. Do you remember?
What? Remember? You didn't tell me to remember, Caroline.
Well, what you do now is you look at that little string around your finger and you tell me what you think.
Interesting that I don't remember what we were talking about either, so somebody may have to call in and remind us what we were talking about if they were interested.
All right, guys, 877-876-5227. Call in and tell us what we were supposed to remember to finish.
Oh, dear.
Well,
just happens.
Yeah. I usually write a little note where I'm stopped, you know, where I have been stopped, and I didn't write a note this time. I think,
and I usually do that too, and I didn't either.
I think
so. Maybe we weren't supposed to go any further with it.
Well, apparently not. I think we were talking about viruses and using the opposite tone that God gives. But no, you might have finished up with that. We have a caller, and your name, please.
Hi, Carolyn. It's Jeanette. How you doing?
Oh, hi, Jeanette. Been a little while since we talked to you, dear. How are things going?
Actually, now I have a sinus infection, so I was wondering if perhaps I could have assistance with it.
Well, Caroline, this is your bailiwick, dear.
You don't just have a little bit of a sinus infection. You got a raging sinus infection.
Yeah, I know. I get it ongoing. I don't feel angry or anything like that. I don't know if it's related to, you know, ancestral ties or something, because I don't feel angry.
Well, I haven't always found that has anything to do with sinus infections.
Well, since Caroline's working on this, Jeannie, I'm going to ask you, Jeanette, what made you think that anger was connected to...
You know, the Louise Hay book and everything
says that
the root of it is usually anger, and I don't feel any anger.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm constantly getting ongoing sinus infections.
So this is something that keeps coming up.
Yes. I mean, I know about the ascension and clearing and stuff, so I know that it's related. But
you think it's related?
I think so. I think what it is now is just that I just need to have whatever this is that's constantly causing this infection to be cleared, so I can be free of it, so I could ascend.
Move on.
Well,
yeah.
It's in the air. It's an allergy that you have. And you're breathing it in, and that's why you're having it over and over again.
You mean it's her home, Caroline?
Well, I don't know if it's in her home. I hadn't asked that question.
I'm wondering if it's in the home or the workplace.
Do you have this pretty much any time of the year?
Yeah, there's like two months out of the year that I'm free. I mean, I basically was told that I'm allergic to cats and trees and everything. And, you know, I've done work regarding the cats, and I hope I'm cleared regarding the cats.
And where do you live?
I live in Long Island. I mean, there's water surrounding all over us.
Okay, I was getting that it was mold and mildew.
Oh, cool. I'm glad it's not my cat. I can take care of the mold and the mildew.
Okay. Okay, the angels have gone in there and killed the bacteria. But one of the other problems that you have when you have sinus infections, even if you take an antibiotic, they very often don't completely clear out your sinuses, so there's some of the bacteria still left in there, and so then you have another one a couple weeks later because it gets built up in there again. And I'm not getting that this is about anger. This is more about your body just being allergic to a lot of things that are around you.
Correct.
Particularly the moisture.
Okay.
When you feel one coming on, if you can sit in a window in the sunlight, it will help to dry your sinuses out so that they're not as susceptible to the infection getting set up.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Okay, so do that even now, and as it drains out of there, to help get that some dryness going on in there, so it's not just moist all the time.
Okay.
And we're going to throw in some of God's golden light.
Oh, thank you.
Because that will also help dry it up. Okay.
Yes, Caroline, I have a question about that, dear. Since this is an allergy to the moisture, would some kind of air purifier or, you know, there are some machines that take the moisture out of the air. Would any of this be of assistance to her?
I use an air conditioner all the time, and I do have an air purifier in my room.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really kind of breathe without the air conditioner. I mean, it's raining.
So you knew. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, have you cleaned the filters?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm always cleaning them.
Okay, that's great.
Now, this might sound this might sound strange, but how about dusting?
Well, I know I'm allergic to dust mites, and you know I do dust and vacuum, maybe not as often as I did.
Well, I know I have a fan in my room, and I'm thinking to myself, there's got to be dust on the top of that fan that I don't get to.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't mean that, you know, you weren't careful, just that maybe I'm just wondering, you know, just kind of thinking out loud, since this is an allergy, and you seem to have a problem with the dust, to kind of, you know, think about your room, your pillows, I know that there are some things that, that you can use that are barriers to things like dust mites. You know, there's some materials that's more efficient than others.
And yeah, one of the things that I do, because I'm allergic to dust, or at least the dust in the house I live in, I take the pillow once every 2 weeks and put it in the dryer on not super hot, but not warm, you know, sort of in between. And I run the dryer until the pillow gets really, really warm, so I know I'm killing some dust mites.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
That's an interesting thought.
And I've got a friend who told me, now, my microwave isn't quite large enough to do this, but the microwave, you know, will kill bacteria in food. And she said, you know, I just put my pillow in the microwave. I went, what?
Wow.
She said, I put it in the microwave and zap it.
Oh, but that's
and
a good
said,
idea for certain things, then. Yeah.
Right.
You know, on a nice, dry, sunny day, would putting the bedclothes out in the air be of help?
Not really, because she's got mold and mildew in the air all the time. She lives on Long Island. Long Island?
Yeah, Long Island.
Long Island.
Well, yeah. I guess it's the dryer, then.
Yeah, it's the dryer.
Yeah, and I think you can do the same thing with the bedding itself, you know, whatever's the cover, if you put it in the dryer and let it get really not so hot that it's going to burn, but hot enough to really kill dust mites that you can get rid of.
I have never done that, so that's a great idea. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
And thank
you,
you so
back
much
again.
For your healing. Love to both of you.
Love to you, too, dear.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, my goodness, we've had an interesting group of topics here.
Haven't we, though?
I just love it when people call in because they talk about so many different interesting things. The number here is 877-876-5227. And would you believe we only have maybe 40 minutes left? So if somebody wants to call, let your fingers do the walking and dial us. Because you might not get in on time.
That's right. Well, one of the things that I was starting to talk about, Carolyn, that we really just got started on was the fact that there are different styles of ascension.
Oh, yes, yes, that was something.
And...
Oh, that's going.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to write this note. Different styles of ascension. And your name, caller?
This is Betty Ann. You girls got your pencil handy?
Oh, I've got my little writing quill here.
Okay, you haven't finished Caroline's story yet.
Which one?
Then, I don't know. You got started on it. It's supposed to have been some awesome experience 10 days ago.
And that's what I was starting to talk about when you called. Yeah, about the ascension.
So you're our little secretary.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you said something about different ways of ascension. And I believe that was mentioned at one point.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. I'll let y'all go. You bet.
Okay.
Now,
thanks for calling.
We enjoy the little nudge, but is there something that we could do for you? Are you all just perfect?
I'm on my way.
You're on the way to getting perfect.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Take care, dear.
Thanks.
Different ways. God was telling you about the different methods of ascension. So that's a great topic. What did God say?
Basically, he didn't. He showed me one way of ascension, but, you know, in doing that with me, he said, but there are almost as many ways to ascend as there are people. So He said, that's one of the things that has concerned me about some of the things that's been written, that have been written about ascension. There isn't just one way to do it, so people shouldn't be anxious about the fact that they don't know if they're on their ascension path or not. Because you are on your ascension path if you've chosen to ascend. You may not do it the same way that somebody else does.
This is what I get from the spiritual hierarchy. It is the choice to make, to have made the decision. And
right.
We have a caller, and your name, please.
Hi, this is Joy.
Hi. Oh, I love your name. Joy.
I do,
how
too.
How wonderful.
I'm part of your conference calls, and I
yes.
had written an email to you about just some
yes.
difficulties in general and my wanting to ascend and actually just my want of all my family members to ascend and trying to help them
mm-hmm.
with that. And, you know, my spouse in particular I'm concerned about, and I guess I don't know if I can do anything about that, but you know, just what you see as far as like if I'm, you know, should be where I'm at, or if I hate to give up and, you know, and this is what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm kind of at that point where it's, am I doing myself good? Am I doing him good? Is everyone doing good?
Well
I think Carolyn, yeah.
Let's take you first. Okay, I know that you're working very hard, Joy. You have chosen to ascend because we've chatted about this in emails, and so you have made the choice for yourself. Now, let me ask you how you feel about your own progress.
I feel like I'm in a... like a marathon right now. I'm doing so many different things. I feel like I'm making up for lost time, and I'm doing all these different, you know, I've been doing Theta Healing. I've been doing mediumship classes. I've been, you know, doing Reiki. I've been trying all these different things to try. And sometimes I don't feel like I know what I'm doing, but I'm just trying to do everything to get myself, I guess, comfortable with myself or feel like I'm making some progress.
I know that your integrity is there and your desire is there. And I'm not going to give you this answer, but I'm going to suggest that you go within and ask yourself this question. Have you spread yourself out too thin and following too many processes at one time?
Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I'm not asking for a decision or an answer even. I just think, like during meditation, go within and ask the question if you should be doing all of this at once, if that's your path, if that's what your soul is suggesting that you do, or should you do a couple things, and if so, which one? So I think it might be a good idea, like, to write those things down, to meditate on it, and go within and ask. When I spoke to you last, it seemed that you want this so badly, and that is beautiful, but are you still feeling anxious around that question and the answer, or have you accepted a little bit that you're going to succeed?
I feel better. Since you know we wrote last, that I'm going to succeed. You know, I'm just concerned about, I'm just concerned about others really now.
Well, I think the most important thing here is you've got to have a firm footing for yourself first. You've got to consider yourself first in this situation. Now, there was some meditations where different masters had taken you to the future with your future self to bring back some of that energy. And I don't know if you were on a conference call that worked with that or not. Do you recall what I'm talking about?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
And I have them all saved, so I know.
Yeah, well, I think
them over again.
I think what you need to do is there were three meditations that were of importance, and that was one of them where the energy is there in that recording. It will take you, it'll take a part of your soul to the future to bring back those energies, and we were directed, and I think that was one that Jesus had done, had directed us to do this periodically, to listen to these, that we can go to the future, we can bring that energy back, and implement it into our physical body now. I think that would be helpful to you because you need to, it just seems to me, to relax a little bit. Just you need to know that this is a goal that you are going to make. You are going to ascend. So I think you have to, first of all, understand that and feel comfortable with it. Do a couple of those. There's like three or four meditations that are all working in the same level of working with ascension energy, so work with that a little bit. I believe another one was Archangel Michael, one of his last meditations that he had done. There's a healing one that Mother Mary has done. So listen to those periodically. It's not something that you got to do, you know, a lot of times. Just periodically listen to, because what it does for you, Joy, is it really bring some self-confidence into you. You know that you're going to do this. I think that would be a help. Now let's talk a little bit about others who are around you. And I'm going to ask a question. Do you think that you can make a decision for someone else?
No.
Because... if you can't make a decision for somebody else, Joy, what would be the reason, do you think?
I'm sorry, can you say it?
No, I said if we can't, as individuals, make choices for other people, what I was trying to get at is kind of pull it out from your mind that we are, all of us are sovereign individuals, and that free choice is each one's sovereign gift, so we really can't make decisions for someone else. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I agree.
Yeah. So the question then would be, if we can't make a decision for someone else, then what could we do that could help them? Is there something that comes to your mind? In other words, if you can't make a decision for your spouse to ascend, what could you do that perhaps might influence him?
I heard this in a meditation once. Is that I just heard a message that I should just be, and then my actions would then, force.
Well, that's one of the things that I was moving towards, Joy. I think that is a very important thing. In other words, to be the example, to be the strong one, understanding that you know what you want, you are moving there, and to be an influence in that respect. So I think your meditation, your message that you got in your meditation was right on. Now, there are some things that we can do to influence other people. And I've heard this in different ways from masters also, that we can send the energy of love to that person's, whether you want to use it, a higher mind, their soul. So that energy is usually seen in pink light, you know, the pink energy of love. You could send your spouse
the pink energy of love, and you send it to their, however you view their soul, as either their higher mind or that soul part or their guardian angel. So in other words, you could send the love and the peace and the hope that they would work towards ascension, and see if they're not ready for that. Their higher mind or their soul or their guardian angel knows when it would be the opportune time to assist them in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we can send energy. And then the other thing, have you prayed over this? Have you asked for God's assistance in helping to get the kind of information that is necessary to perhaps, awaken them and for them to make a choice,
mm-hmm,
towards that end? Have you done that?
Yeah.
Now,
I've tried to work with his, because I don't think he's really doing it himself, so I tried,
mm-hmm,
to talk to my guides and guardians to,
mm-hmm,
for my guides and guardians to have lunch with his guides and guardians.
I love it, have lunch.
so that they could then, assist all of us in trying to help, awaken.
But, some people have chosen not to. They wish to relive their lives in a third dimensional world.
Oh.
And also, Carolyn, if I can interject something
of
here.
Of course.
Some people have decided not to wake up until the last possible minute.
That, you know, that, and that thought did cross my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that.
An awakening.
If he's decided not to wake up until the last possible minute, then that's the choice he's made. Doesn't, just because he isn't awake right now doesn't mean that he won't wake up at the very end. So of the awakening time, he will. And the other thing that I would like to interject here is that instead of asking God to help with his awakening, thank God for helping with his awakening.
Excellent.
All right, that
excellent
puts
point,
it,
Caroline.
It puts it in the present,
mm-hmm,
not in the future. And the presumption that makes is that it's been done.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you send him love and light, you send it and place it in his energy field. And what happens with that energy is his choice, but you can continuously be putting love and light in his energy field, and things will change. Now, don't have an expectation about it. God works in mysterious ways, and they aren't always what we think would be the best. What we choose for other people is that things work for them for their best and highest good. And God knows what that is. So when you do put your love and light into his energy field, which I would suggest that you do every time you think of him, every time you see him, just keep putting love and light into his energy field, then there will be a shift that takes place. You don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but you've put it in God's hands, and it will happen for the best.
Is he hostile towards the things that you do along these lines?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why just doing the silent love and light treatment will work so well. I've seen it work in my own life with people in my family. and I don't have an expectation about how the change is going to occur or in what way it's going to affect me, but I just put it there and wait for a change to come, and it comes. The change definitely will come.
Do you think he has a sense that you're trying to change him in some way?
I've had people tell me that, that.
Well, you don't have to answer. I'm just kind of like throwing out some thoughts that maybe you could just mull over.
Mm-hmm. I've tried to back off a bit now.
Yeah, sometimes spouses, they don't like new ideas right away coming from their spouse. They like to, and I don't even know if that's his case. I'm just talking different thoughts that maybe you might ponder. Sometimes people like to feel like it was their own idea that they came across and not that someone was trying to convince them of something that might seem strange to them at the moment. So they're just a couple thoughts, Joy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know if they apply to your husband, but I've seen spouses who react that way. They don't like their spouse giving them advice. You know, men, we can laugh about this. Here's three ladies. And gentlemen, if you're out there and you're not identifying with this, then forgive me. But how many times have you been in a car with somebody and you're lost and the guy just won't ask for directions?
Or you've told them something or you've given them advice and they shrug it off and they don't take it. And then a year later you hear them saying the same thing to someone else and you're like, wait a minute. I told you that one, and you told me that I was crazy or whatever. Yeah.
You know what we're talking about here, Joy, is planting a seed.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
So, you know, that might be something else to ponder about planting some seeds and not showing the work.
Yes.
You were going to say something, Caroline.
I think sometimes what this kind of requires is patience.
Yes.
I've always been told for most of my life that I'm the most patient person in the world, but I have learned a whole lot more patience in the last 10 years than I had even before, because when you're sending love and light to somebody, you don't know whether they're going to receive it and respond in the next month or in the next 10 years. You know, you just know that you're doing it, and they choose to accept that love whenever they choose to accept it.
Well, can I tell you a little story? I kind of think this
sure.
is cute. This was about training a horse. And you might not relate to it since you don't have a horse that you're training, but you might get the idea. They were talking about a person who is training a horse. They're going to ride the horse. And, you know, when you ride a horse, you have to get the horse to obey you. The horse obeys the rider's every move. And the person who was giving the lesson said, to get the best results, never let the horse know it's got a bit in its mouth.
Wow.
Is that too subtle? And
I
excuse
think that's
me,
great.
Men, if you're out there listening and you object to this, I apologize. But I think this is really good advice for wives.
And it's probably pretty good advice for husbands too.
Yeah. Thank you for adding that. So we have to be subtle, I think. With our desires if the other person's objecting to it. So, Joy, did any of this help?
Yeah, I'll just continue to work on him silently and hope for the best.
You're doing great, dear.
Great.
You really
well, thank you.
Are.
Trying.
You take care.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, it's 877-876-5227. We're getting up to the witching hour. If you got a call about something, you got to get on the horn now and give us a buzz. Back to the different ways of ascension, Caroline.
Yes. I was just really fascinated because I've read quite a few things about ascension. I know people that are doing this thing over here or people that are talking about you have to do it this way or the other way. And God said there's no have to about any particular method. If you read about a method of ascension that resonates with you and sounds like it's something that you could do that.
Well, we had somebody who took our advice. Your name, caller.
This is Nancy Carolyn. Hi.
you left a bag here that you forgot to take with you?
Oh, I didn't even hear what you guys were saying right before I got on, so.
Well, what can we do for you, dear? Weren't you just on the phone?
No.
No.
This isn't Nancy Sue.
No, this is the other Nancy.
Okay, I thought it was Nancy Sue. That's why I said, did you leave a bag here that you forgot to take with you? What can we do for you, Nancy?
Well, I'm just curious. My 9-year-old has been extremely sick all week with scarlet fever and stress.
Okay.
And he's coming out of it now. But he's a little guy who, you know, when he gets sick, he's never been down in bed even one day. And he was down every day this week. He's still not out of bed. And I had some feelings kind of what it was related to and that maybe he was doing some clearing and it was past life related. But I'm curious and to see if there's anything we can do to assist him.
Nancy, we're going to ask Caroline. Caroline, I think this is your call, dear.
Well, actually, I think the cherubim want to answer this.
You're putting me up on the
spot, isn't it?
Well, it puzzles me that you don't see him standing there, Carolyn, going, pick me.
Well, but see, the thing is, you're very quietly observing. I'm sitting here chatting.
I realize that.
As you know, I little Miss Chatterbox is just here talking to the people, and I, excuse me, cherubim. Okie doke, let's see. Let me tune into them. While I'm tuning in, did you have anything you wanted to say to Nancy?
Nancy, what is your son's name?
Ted.
Ted. Okay.
Did you want me to go first, Caroline?
Yes.
Because I know you've got something for her, too. Nancy, I think you are aware that he is there in the role, well, it's a rather subtle role, as teacher.
Yes.
Yeah. He came into this lifetime to be your teacher.
Uh-huh.
He respects you as your parent. And so what I meant by being the teacher, he's not out of place with it.
Yeah, no, he's not.
No, he's, I see him as a gentle, he has a gentle nature about himself.
Yes,
but he is there to teach you.
Uh-huh.
Do you sense that you've had past lifetimes with this little friend of yours?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is the reason why he is there with you at this moment, because of the past life connections that you had. The cherubim are showing me a picture. It is so beautiful. It is like the two of you are walking along, and he is like leading you. And it is... oh, this is so beautiful. What they're saying to me is that he came in this lifetime to make sure that you go back with him
at the end of the cycle. You know what they're referring to there, don't you, Nancy?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah. So the two of you have danced around with one another through many lifetimes. You have partnered with one another, you know, as parents, siblings. This time he came in as your son. The two of you have had many relationships with one another. And let me ask you a question. How do you feel about the soul with relationship to you on a soul level?
How do I feel about him being my teacher on a soul level? Is that...
No, not the two of you on a soul level. Do you know, do you have a sense of your relationship between the two of you on a soul level?
I'm sorry, Carolyn. I'm afraid I'm not understanding. Do I know how to sense it on a soul level?
Now, see, he is there as a child.
Uh-huh.
But he is not really a child.
No,
The two of you are related to one another on a soul level. Do you have a sense of the relationship of your soul to his soul?
Well, he told me that we were, like I was an offshoot of him or something like that. I didn't really understand what he was trying to tell me, but it was like I split off from him as a soul or something.
Well, the way that I am seeing it is the yin and the yang, the two aspects of soul, the male, the female, and this is what I was wanted to know if you had a sense of this. The two of you are very closely related from the point of view of your soul construction.
Oh.
And yes, he is there as a child this time, but there is this great nobility of soul between he and you. You've had all of these relationships. You're related to one another on a soul level. And so it's easy sometimes not to see this because he is your son.
Oh, no, he's told me all kinds of things. So
well,
I get what you're saying.
Yes, he is an advanced being. And he didn't have to come back this time, but he did to make sure that you go through that gateway with him.
Mm, wow.
So that was his choice. That was his purpose. He is there for you. Would you agree or disagree? He has a very sensitive nature, very gentle.
Oh, yes, and he's funny, too.
Well, what they are telling me is because of this very gentle nature that he has difficulties sometimes with the way the world is.
Yes, and I did as a child. It was really, really hard for me, so I homeschooled him for a while, and then he was in a charter school, and now he's gone into public
mm-hmm.
school, and it's been really difficult for him, and I've kind of been back and forth about whether, you know, I need to be homeschooling him again.
So there is this adjustment, how should I say this, this difficulty of adjustment, not that there's anything wrong with him,
yeah.
but the world is...
A harsh
place.
Yeah, it is.
To him.
Uh-huh.
Would you agree with that?
Oh, definitely, yeah. And I feel like he's going through a lot of the same things I did, but I keep reminding him that he has me to talk to about how to
mm-hmm.
get along.
Well, it seems to me that what he is going through right now is not physical, but emotional, that is demonstrating a physical symptoms.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense?
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to, let's see if we can find out what the answer to that. Okay, so you understand the connection. You understand what he is going through right now. Let's see if we can find an answer as to how you might treat this. When he tells you these things, Nancy, do you react with him that you accept what he says and you believe it?
Well, for the most part, I'd say, you know, 85% of the time, but I have gone through some difficult things at times, and sometimes I don't react so good, and mm-hmm. I'm always trying to tell him that it's not, it has nothing to do with him, that my reaction is about my own, you know, self, and I try not to do that, and that was just a period of time that I went through, because when he first started telling me, I was like, you know, just listening, and then I'd sit on it for a while, try to get confirmation of some things, and I usually did, kind of coming out of that difficult phase now. So, yeah, he did probably go through some things where he was a little angry with me for not,
so
he got mad for not listening.
Yeah, the point here is in your interaction with him, interact more from the standpoint that you're accepting what he says,
uh-huh.
and not to have an element that you don't believe it.
Okay.
Not that you're not true to your own self, but
yeah.
It's difficult for him because he is so certain of the truth.
Yeah.
And so he's sharing his not just insights, but what he believes is very factual. He's sharing these, what he believes is very factual things with you, and sometimes he gets discouraged that you're not accepting what he is saying.
Yeah, and I think sometimes it's a lack of, like, because he's not an adult, he's trying to put the words to it, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't exactly come out in a way that I understand, and I ask, you know, I ask the same question more than once. He gets mad at me.
Well, it's frustrating to him because he is the child now in the relationship, and he's not a spouse.
Yeah.
When you have, a husband and wife, or even a brother and sister that is the same age, you have, like, a level playing field, so to speak.
Yeah.
And there's not the level playing field of age in this relationship.
Yeah.
And so it's even more difficult for him.
Yeah.
Because it's easy not to treat him as an adult because he is the child.
Well, you know, for the most part I do, because I ask him a lot of mm-hmm. questions and stuff. It was really funny. The first time he started coming out with information, he sat, he got out of a bathtub, and then he sat on a bench, pulled a bench up to me and made me sit on the floor, and he says, "Okay, Mama, I'm the teacher now, and you're in TED preschool."
Well, you get the picture. Caroline, is there anything that you might suggest to Nancy with regards to her son and perhaps his healing?
Well, do know that he's going to come out of this very well. His guides and masters have been with him through the whole thing. And part of what's going on is that this time when he has been asleep and just lying there, he's been being reminded of what his full role is on the earth and how to adjust to it, and how to adjust to the earth. So he's going to come out of it stronger in terms of understanding. He's very wise.
Yeah.
So, Caroline, what are you saying? This is sort of like a little hibernation period?
It's not really as much a hibernation period as it is
an integration.
A period of quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Enlightenment and remembering.
Mm-hmm.
He remembers a lot of what he came in with.
Yes, he does.
But it's like he's been taken up to a different level.
Oh.
Okay. So he's going to come out of it with even more things to say to you, and you are the one person that he can say them to.
Yes.
So you need to practice your acceptance and your willingness to suspend your disbelief, which is based on your experiences here.
Yeah. The word that the cherubim are giving me right now is trust.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, dear.
Sounds wonderful.
You are on a wonderful journey.
And so is he.
Well, and yes. I really appreciate both of your help because it you know, it really helps to have somebody to talk to about these things.
Sure.
Well,
does.
Anytime you need to talk to somebody, you just give us a call. Caroline is here with me every other week on a Saturday, but I also have the Wednesdays and Sunday show. So, you know, call us then.
Okay, great. Thank you, ladies, so much.
Okay.
And let me ask you one thing before you get off the phone. Where do you live?
Idaho.
Okay. Because I think I know somebody that you could talk to on the phone that is going through a similar experience with her son.
Oh.
Okay, so let me call her, and I'll get the information to you.
Okay, well, Carolyn has my email address, so.
Now, okay, you're going to send me, why don't you send me the email address?
Oh.
Okay.
With a little note and asking me to forward any information that Caroline might be able to give to you with regards to this.
Oh, okay. Well, Carolyn, this is the Nancy that's been on your conference call, so you have my email.
I know, darling, but
okay.
Just do me a favor. What I want you to do
is send you a number.
Yeah, send
okay.
it, because you see,
right.
It's like a little reminder.
Okay,
send,
all right.
Because I print those out, and then I have it here, and then I can take care of it. So just
okay.
send me a little email and say, and just tell me that Caroline, if she is able, is to give you the name and the phone number of someone who's going through the same thing.
Okay.
Okay,
great.
Dear.
Thank you.
Okay,
my
thank
pleasure.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my golly, life is so exciting, isn't it, Caroline?
Oh, my goodness, yes. And these wonderful children that are coming in now.
Yes.
That remember where they're coming from and what they're, not just their first job, but their the whole overview of all of the work mm-hmm. that they're going to be doing here and helping other people understand what's going on. It's just awesome.
It is, and in situations like that, I'm not sure that the formal education is all that important. I know that mm-hmm. is a thing that I'm saying that most parents would abhor hearing, but I think in a situation like that, the formal education and the grades is not as important as nurturing the sensitivity of this individual and helping them to stay on their path and their mission. I think that's more important than, you know, the grades.
Well, I agree with you, and also, I guess I would also say that they do have to learn how to adjust to this situation that we're currently in, where they're not in a majority. Where they're in a minority situation and understand.
Sweetheart, we've got to get off to the close the book for today's show. Real quick, give us your phone number and let us be off.
Okay. It's 540-586-2401.
And my website is carolynevers.com. And Caroline, thanks for being here. We'll see you all in 2 weeks.
You too, Carolyn.
Bye.
Love to everybody. Bye-bye.